chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir at walls, dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season right. Tiny tots with their
back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and that is the Chicago Soul Review.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, thanks for joining. You know, I'm sitting there watching you guys, and we're up. I want to paint a picture of, you can see the skyline, you can see Navy Pier, you can see Lakeshore Drive. It's like being in a Holiday Inn lounge from the 60s or something. So thanks, Felicia, for bringing the group in. We got Tracy Baim as co-host for this segment. First of all, right off the bat, why don't you introduce the band?
Okay, well, I'm Felicia Patton. I am the lead singer. I don't need to give you directions.
Yeah, you don't need to give directions.
So that's Albert Caldwell. He's on keys, and he also sings. And then we have Jim Gifford on drums. And then we have Kevin Gwynn on bass, David Taylor on guitar, and our saxophone player, Cyril Lawrence, is sick.
Okay. And talk about how the group got together. I know you guys, you were on the show. I mean, you play a lot on Saturday night at Untitled.
Yes.
But yeah.
And we actually have another show on Untitled coming up in January 19th. Okay. Yeah, January 19th. How it got together was they were already a band, except for Kevin. He came in later. So they were already a band, and I came in to kind of critique the band. I came in with a label. And the guy who brought me in, he didn't even let me get a word in. He was just like, oh, I hate the singer. And so he had me bring in other singers. And he didn't like any of those or the ones he brought in. And so he was like, you just be in a band. And then that's how I got in a band. So.
And had you been in a band before?
No.
She kind of muscled the vocals down.
Yeah.
I did not muscle them. It's not my fault. I didn't make them.
So what was the band that was existing before this?
It was this band.
It was still called Chicago Soul Review.
I don't think they had a name.
They didn't have a name.
They didn't have a name yet.
Okay,
well,
so
we did, but we hadn't done any shows or anything. We were in the process of putting it together.
So how'd you get in Untitled? When's your next gig at Untitled? You're almost in regular rotation there, at least once a month.
Yes, at least just about. We didn't do December. They have some special December stuff going on, but usually at least once a month, sometimes twice. We do Untitled. Been doing it for about 3, maybe 4 years. So we got in first. We did their Sunday brunch first. And then after like the first time, they put us on a Saturday rotation. So they call us pretty regularly.
And Untitled is, I don't have the address in front of me. It's
so
downtown.
Untitled is on 111 North Kinsey. Yeah. That's that great parking lot.
That's right where I always park my car.
They don't have a door.
Yeah.
They don't have a door until they open. It's really nice. And in between each set, they have a burlesque dancer.
That's what you've told me about.
I
that.
I tried to get you in, but
yeah,
you're,
I'm always here. When's your next gig there?
It's January 19th.
January 19th?
Yeah, so we do three sets, 8 to 11.
8 to 11.
And then there's a DJ after that.
And will the burlesque dancer be there?
Burlesque dancer comes on, yes. Automatically.
That really is kind of old school Chicago stuff. I mean, you know, like Burning Spear and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But you know what I mean? Back to the reviews and
That's
stuff like
kinda
that.
That's kind of what they do. They celebrate Prohibition every year, and they have like over 400 types of whiskey. Like they're really big on.
I heard about that.
Cool feel.
It's like a supper
club. Yeah,
it's a supper club.
But it's like subterranean. I mean, it's not. You don't have the view like you have here. I keep looking at that.
No, it is below ground.
Yeah, it is below ground. Yeah, yeah. So, Felicia, I mean, you were on the show once.
Yeah.
And you gave me that Aretha Franklin riff, and I was just completely knocked out. Talk about your background, and I really want to talk about it's in the church, and of course, the merging of gospel music with soul music. But talk about your background in the church first.
So, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, Chicagoan, and I grew up in Inglewood. But in my neighborhood, they only had storefront churches, so they would just pop up. If something dangerous happened, they might have got shot out or robbed, and then they'd disappear. And so we went when they popped up. So my grandma was the religious one, so we went with her. And then when I got to high school, that's when I started doing performing arts at Curie. Curie over there, Archer and Pulaski. And that's where I really got into doing choirs and stuff like that. Just for me, gospel and blues and soul and jazz and all of that is kind of intertwined. So like sometimes when I write something soul, I'll end up having to put it in a blues because it's so connected. Like one chord will change it for me. So for me, soul is just, it's like it's gospel without the religious part of it, like the religious faith aspect of it. I always, for me, I'm always the one writing about relationships. I always tell them not to do that because usually for me, it's like the emotion that way. So you have gospel that's relation connected to faith. And then you have soul, which is relationship connected to other people, like that kind of the ins and outs of that.
Back in the day, and I don't know if this is true right now, but back in the day with Sam Cooke coming out of the church, even Lou Rawls came out of the church and stuff, there was debate, and Otis Clay used to talk about this a little bit, debate if you could live in both worlds. You either had to be a gospel singer or a soul singer, and it was dangerous to cross over. Is that still a part of the conversation now?
No, I don't think so as much. I think some people have a problem with it. The more conservative sects of the black church can be like that, but not like the mainstream, that they know that there is crossover. The music is crossover. The chords that we use in the black church are also the chords we use when we do soul and blues and jazz, and they all have the same influence. So most mainstream artists, I would be very clear about that, have gospel musicians backing them.
Yeah.
So that crossover is very clear.
Okay, we're going to take a break. You come back with a song off your new record, right?
Yes, it's okay. Coming in or out.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Left me all alone. Didn't call to check up. Had me waiting by the phone.
There you go. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's the Chicago Soul Review, and that's the title track.
Yes, it's the title track of our album.
In and Out.
In or Out.
In or Out.
Yeah.
And talk about that. Did you co-write that?
Yeah, I wrote that.
Okay, talk about the song.
So I wrote that song because somebody left, but they kept trying to come back. And so they were getting on my nerves. So my husband was like, well, do they want to be in or out? And so then I recorded like some melody on my phone. That's usually where I write stuff, on my phone. And so I recorded that on my phone. And then I bring it into the guys and I tell them what chord. So I'll record. For this, I didn't do it. Sometimes I record like bass lines with my mouth and stuff like that.
Well, now, when did you write the song? Because you talked about it with your husband. So was it before your husband wasn't in or out?
No, it wasn't my husband. It wasn't that type of relationship.
Yeah, okay.
It was our former bass.
Yeah, okay.
But I know he's out of a that. But you know,
I lost the sequence there. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he kept. So it was like. Yeah.
And. The Chris Pollard, formerly of Megadeth, played on the track?
Yeah, so what happened was, Dave.
Yeah,
so
Dave, talk about how Megadeth got involved.
Chris played on that on the record.
Okay.
And so when we did it live, I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, I guess good story. A testament to how cool of a guy Chris is. He came to sit in with us on our album release party. And
where was that at?
Untitled.
Untitled.
Okay. Yeah, classic place for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, you think about a guy who has every right to... you know, be snobby or whatnot. We were playing a song I wrote called Relief. First note of my solo, I go for a bend, and my string breaks. First time I've ever broken a string on stage live. The guitar I was playing went totally out of whack. It's not the kind of instrument that you still get notes that are in tune. Everything's totally alien. Chris comes rushing from the backstage somewhere with his instrument, thrusts it into my arms.
And a Megadeth guy would do that. He'd thrust it. He wouldn't.
It was a definite thrust.
Yeah, right.
It was not time for anything but a thrust.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. But yeah, it was great. It was in tune. It played great. I got to play the rest of my solo. Great experience playing with him. Yeah.
Well, how did he get involved in the track?
Well, he's good friends with Jim, and we're actually all of us are on his next album coming out. What's the name of the album, Jim?
Chris Pollard Resistance.
It's called Chris Pollard Resistance, and actually all of us are on different songs. I wrote three songs for it.
Wow,
I'm singing
that's
rock
great.
And it's on this album. I think Rhyme Fest is on there. I was doing some organ on there. Everybody's playing on there. And Jim is mixing it with a kid.
Well, I mean, how'd you meet him? How did he come into the fold?
How did he come into the fold, Jim?
Well, I've been friends with Chris for a while now. We had a project that we did a record and it ran its course, and then we started plotting our next thing, which is this record that will be out in the spring. And this time we decided to use all my Chicago people, so these people and then some.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's awesome. It's gonna be cool.
And after the news, I want to talk about distribution. But while we're on the topic, talk about how people can find the music, the website.
So our website is www.chicagosoulreview.band, and the same for our Instagram and our Twitter and Facebook is all the same. They can find us on Amazon, Spotify, and iTunes. They can find the record. You can listen to it, stream it, or buy it and download it.
It's a great record. Floppy Rug. I like that song.
That's Dave. It's about a rug. He was actually moving.
Yeah.
Because he was getting married.
Felicia writes about love. I write about rugs.
But it's very deep. I want him to get it on a Bissell commercial.
Yeah.
I don't know why
that's
playing
not
around.
A bad idea.
Stop playing.
So, we're going to take a break for David Jennings and News. You got another couple songs. We definitely want to talk about Sharon Jones. I want to talk influences when we come back. Sharon Jones, Etta James.
Yeah.
We talked about Aretha last time you were on the show. And I want to talk about how you get the music out there these days, too.
Okay.
So, don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
She hailed from Augusta, Georgia. Mama named Ella May. Then she moved to New York City to see a new day. Through life's good and bad, and all that's in between, she's a hell of a woman.
What you're talking about. Wow. Felicia Patton and the Chicago Soul Review. Man, they gave me goosebumps.
Thanks.
Wow. That was, so that's off the new record.
Yes.
Tribute to talk about that song, and okay. I got some follow-up questions. Sharon Jones.
Funny story. That song was originally called Mr. Right, and I dedicated it to my husband, and then when Sharon passed away, I took it away from him. So it was an add-on last. So we had already finished the record, and we kind of added that also. I do have to write him another song that's not a breakup song. I don't know what day that is. But actually, Jim actually met Sharon. And so that was the inspiration for the band. So, Jim?
Jim? Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Jim the drummer.
Jim the drummer.
Yeah, get close to that mic there. Yeah, okay.
I don't know, like maybe 12, 15 years ago.
Thanks, Felicia.
I had a instrumental soul band that opened up for them at Double Door.
Really?
Yeah, and it was
a
killer.
What band was that?
It was called the Soul Rays.
Okay.
And I wasn't hip to them, and it was a great crowd, great show and everything. We went down to the green room, and we're partying, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Hey, Sharon, get your tail on stage."
That's a good word, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, man, you're Sharon." And so then... yeah, she ran up there and proceeded to destroy us. And, it blew my mind. And so then I decided that the next classic soul thing I do will have vocals and, you know, we'll use Sharon as kind of a starting point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good, good, good. Felicia. talk about your influences. I know there's an Etta James track on the record, and we've talked about Aretha. Talk about Sharon Jones. Talk about the role of female vocalists in your career, both artistically and emotionally.
So for me, Sharon Jones is really important because she kind of had the same kind of life I did. She did odd jobs. I was a medical biller before that. I was in the Army. I did
you
all kinds.
Army?
Yeah, not very long. I realized I can't run that well. So I feel like my genes are just to birth babies, and I'm not doing that anymore. So there's that. but she, you know, taught piano. And she did a choir at church, and she was in soul. So that same kind of progression, same thing Aretha Franklin did. She came out of the church and then kind of transitioned into soul. It's, for me, it's interconnected. It's telling the story of your life, and it's not just faith. It's also your whole life. It can be heartache, just your everyday experiences. It's all connected.
For both of you, I want Tracy to talk about this too. I mean, there's a little bit of talk about, I mean, maybe there's a lot. 2018 being the year of the woman and stuff. So both of you in your careers, Tracy, we touched on that in your segment. And Felicia, what's it like to try to move forward in a male-dominated world?
Oh,
for both
well,
you guys.
That is.
I want you guys to talk about that.
Yeah. There's a lot of mansplaining.
Yeah.
a lot of that. There can be a lot of talking over you, and people try to, they don't hear your voice as much. You can, and then when you're more forceful, then you're just being, you know, a brat, we're going to use that word, bratty or something like that. And I'll tell you, in all the times that I've subbed out, and this is not them, like if I sub out anybody in my band, I've never gotten suggested a female instrumentalist ever. They were in college with me, but I don't see them represented in Chicago. They don't tend to sub them out, which is kind of disappointing to me.
Yeah, it's sad that it's still very unusual to see women in the larger bands. I mean, when I was coming out in the 80s, I was like, oh, this is going to be it now. You know, we're going to get some more women on stage for, it didn't, you know, it's not necessarily a woman singer or man singer or whatever, that there would be more integration across many fields. And it's really sad. You know, music to me is very much like journalism. There's a lot of parallels to it in terms of the industry and the hard to break through. We're telling stories just in a different way, a different rhythm. And in many ways, journalism itself is mimicking the music industry, where people are having to freelance, they're having to make their way, they have a day job, and then they got their journalism job. So whenever I talk to journalism students, I'm like, think about musicians. Right. Sometimes you may not be able to do that career your whole life for 40 years, but you can always do it on the side. So I'm very inspired by the musicians I know that really struggle and on a daily basis are creating inspirational music despite all the obstacles they're against.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have day jobs and stuff?
Actually, everybody's a teacher.
Oh, you are teachers.
They all teach their instruments, and Dave actually fixed his guitars. You don't teach anymore. You taught my daughter for a little bit, but then he quit. Kevin teaches bass. He has a website for that, too. Albert teaches at MusicNet. And I teach out at in Calumet City. It's a low profit. It's really low profit. It's for kids. It's called Epic Arts and Entertainment. And so we teach them how to do our acting, dancing, modeling, stuff like that. Just put on Annie. And we funded it. We built stages and all of that. And we took them out. We're trying to tour them. And I just actually came from a showcase for them today. They were doing their ballet and all of that stuff. So they don't pay much. They pay like a small fee for the month. And then they can take all of the classes, which is good to bring that. We don't see that outside of Chicago, like in the adjoining suburbs. So that's what the focus was.
And I wanted to say one more thing, too, about women in music. I listen to Pandora, and if I had time, I would take a list. And every time I pick a woman singer, there's plenty of men they play. Mm-hmm. But when you pick a male singer, it's very, very rare that they'll pick a woman to match with it. And even the traditional Christmas music they play is almost all white men. And that's money, right? Spotify and Pandora and Apple.
Same with church music.
Yeah, they just don't.
It's all white men.
Yeah.
I mean, I work in the church. I work for the Hymn Society, and I work for all of that stuff. So it's all men.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. They get a lot of the credit and a lot more. They have more of a platform. Mm-hmm. They do their best, but they still get a better platform than the women do. We struggle a lot more.
What about when you do you play other places besides Untitled? Like, do you have a manager, or who negotiates the deals? Who goes?
We're working on a manager. Usually, Jim does our contracts.
Jim does it? Okay.
We're working on a manager right now that might be solidified soon. So if you hear me out there. So we're working on a good one right there. But yeah, we all do different. I impersonate Aretha Franklin and Etta James. It's like that. So I do that on the side. Sometimes we break down and do jazz and blues. So you can see us all around. And we do park districts and stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to make you do? I want Tracy. Can you just do a little bit of Aretha Franklin for Tracy? Just a cappella?
if you would like.
I did that last time you were on the show. Just, you don't have to, you know, just a riff. It's so good.
chain of fools for 5 long years. Yeah, I thought you were my man, but I found out, yeah, I'm just a link in your chain. Oh yeah, you got me where you want me. I ain't nothing but your fool. You treated me mean. Oh, you treated me cruel.
Yeah, all right, there you go. R.I.P. Aretha.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. In the Aretha, year of Aretha.
Yeah, they can play the reader celebration party when you hit your goal.
Call me. I'm around. I'm here. I live here in Chicago. I can't leave. I wanted to.
We were talking, and then for both of you guys, about soul music's probably my favorite type of music. Mm-hmm. And there is such a deep message in the great soul songs. And can you talk about any interactions you've had with your fans, with people on the street? The terminology I had here was soul music is the gateway for conversation and stuff. So the message of soul music and the feeling of soul music, the deep feeling of soul music, what you just did there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people are very connected to soul music. There's a large group of people who just feel safe and happy when we do a Rescue Me or we do a Tell Mama or At Last. That's just, it connects people to their experiences in life. So they just feel connected and people seem, feel closer to us and very grateful that we bring stuff that they know, that they're used to healing, that hearing that same feeling. They just really connect with it. So it is a way. It does bring a lot of conversation and everybody seems happier with that. Of all ages, they seem so. It's not too complicated. It's just simple enough. It gets you the story. It's deep enough, but it's approachable and it's accessible to everybody. So people of all ages tend to just connect to it, even if it's their family members or their parents who did it. It's just a conversation starter, and they just feel happy about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tracy, same thing about just music building bridges and stuff.
Oh, I mean, music, obviously a lot of this music came out of the movement in the 1960s, and it was integral to the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. So I was born in 63, the year Kennedy was killed, and this music was music my parents played mm-hmm. on records. The old records, and it was so important for me. Yeah, it's back in style. Records are back in style. It is the soul of America, right? Mm-hmm. And there were many singers that were really strongly part of the civil rights movement and hurt their careers in many ways. Mm-hmm. They were exploited by the industry, and yet they still persevered and tried to survive in this industry.
And it's great with a name like the Chicago Soul Review. What you're saying there is, in the 60s, Chicago was such a pivot point for so many of these great soul singers with a message, whether it be Sam Cooke's A Change mm-hmm. Is Gonna Come, you know, the stuff the Staples singers were doing. I still think he's terribly underrated, Curtis Mayfield, yeah. You know, that stuff. So it's great to carry on that tradition. We've talked on the show before that sometimes soul gets a short shrift in a city. It's so deeply associated with the blues, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just great to see soul music being played out live.
And, yeah, you know. I mean, with the loss of Sharon, and she had a label mate who passed away too. I don't remember what his name was, but he was on Daptone Records yeah. too. It's just this gap. We don't have anybody who is around our age who's doing it. Like, there's some younger people doing it, but like, we just need to see those bodies, those elders, those older people just filling in, like, because they're there. Yeah. It's just, why aren't they being celebrated? So we're just trying to bring it back. We just need to simple stuff.
I'm glad you're doing that. All right, we're going to take a break. You're going to play one more little bit of a song.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about distribution, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
War and fuel and military rule. Looking out your window, things can seem pretty. From one and two, one thing seems true. You and me together, I think we can make it through. Extraordinary, interplanetary, revolutionary, can be relieving. Extraordinary, interplanetary, revolutionary, can blues make filibuster stew. They will be forgotten like a murder in. Close your eyes and change your point of view. We can get away and get drunk dancing to the blues. Extraordinary, interplanetary, revolutionary.
Do that song. Talk about that song.
That's called Relief, and actually Dave wrote that song. Dave, you want to say something quick about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's like obviously a political message, yeah. And you can get lost in politics, and we could very well talk for a long time about it. Relief is about all of that noise, and then sometimes you got to forget about it and be with someone that you love and get drunk dancing to the blues and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's a relief.
Did you write that specifically for the band?
I did, yeah. I think I started with that little riff at the end that we kind of play around with live, and then, yeah, it turned into kind of a political thing, too. So, yeah.
Felicia, before we get into, I want to talk about the label and how people can find the record. Why don't we introduce everybody one more time? Just say what instruments they're playing.
Okay, you just heard from David Taylor. He's our guitarist. And then we have behind him, we have Kevin Gwynn on bass. Then we have Albert Caldwell on keyboard. And right next to me, we have Jim Gifford on drums. And I'm Felicia Patton, and I'm the vocalist.
Okay. And Chicago, so talk about, I guess, Jim, you're the yeah. Talk about how this works. Chicago Creed is a label owned by the Music Garage. So talk about the dynamics of all this.
Well, Music Garage is a partner in it, but it's mostly owned by a gospel label that's been around for quite a while, Kingdom.
Okay.
And they have a number of imprints and do mostly gospel and soul, although they're getting into other things now. Chicago Creed is specifically for Chicago-based original music. And, yeah, they've been great.
And Urban Ideas Limited Partnership.
Yeah, they're part of the Chicago Creed as well.
And what is that?
That's a vehicle that they develop other things. Like, I think they're going to start working on a music complex in the South Suburbs. So
really?
Yeah, like they've got a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak, and they do bring a lot of non-music business energy to the music business.
It sounds like you. Have you been playing soul music and R&B around here for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I started with the Soul Rays sometime around the end of last century.
Yeah, I mean,
this would have been straight up Clinton administration.
Well, where I'm going with that is how has the landscape changed? I mean, were gigs harder then? I mean, you know, what's the response to the type of soul music that you play over the years?
I think it's. I think it's pre-Sharon Jones
right.
And post-Sharon Jones. I think Sharon kind of blazed a trail and brought the kids into the mix. And that, you know, thankfully has continued, you know. And there are other bands around doing, you know, similar stuff that we do.
I was going to ask you guys, when you all go out and teach, I mean, how much interest is there in real instruments as opposed to electronics and stuff like that, making real music? Yeah. I mean, soul music.
Well, yeah. We all teach real instruments and the fundamentals and from square one. So these are real teachers.
Yeah.
And I teach them... So I have two masters in sacred music, and so I teach, and I've been classically trained, so I teach vocals that way with the classical bass and trying to bring out their natural. The soul and soul and gospel is like natural. It's not really something you can teach. Right. You either have that or you don't, but you can use that classical training to kind of amp that up and to bring some techniques so that their voices last longer, just kind of like a rock musician. They last longer, so they don't have vocal fatigue. They don't get vocal nodules and all of that stuff.
Soul is a feeling.
Yeah, soul is a feeling. Oh. You feel it. You have to feel it. You have to internalize what I tell them. You have to internalize where the chords are going. If you can't hear where they're going, if you don't have it, the bass line for the song in your head, then you don't know it. You have to be able to hear it.
Yeah,
that's just it. I mean, you can do whatever technique you want to, but you'll just be guessing.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone taught Michael Bolton to sing.
Who am I supposed to? No, we're not gonna go there.
That's I'm gonna try that.
No, don't do that.
No, hearing it.
Oh, you have to hear it. You have to know where it's going.
Yeah, you have to know. All right, let's talk about one more time how people can find your music and talk about upcoming gigs.
Okay, so you can find us at www.chicagosoulreview.band on Instagram, Facebook, The album is on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon Music. You can stream it and buy it. You can, our next gig is at Untitled Supper Club on January 19th from 8 to 11. And if you come on out, you can see a nice little burlesque dancer in between, and get some nice drinks and food.
And you got a new project coming up. You're working on a new record.
We're working on a new project. We're going back in the lab in January. We've already started a couple of songs. So we're getting some good stuff going on there. We got a good amount of stuff. So look out for next year.
Well, thank you all so much for coming up here to join us. This has been a real treat to have the first real band in this studio. It sounded great. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Chicago Soul Review. Thanks, Tracy Baim, for riding shotgun all night. And asking questions. And thanks also to Dan Long and Aubrey Mumpower.